Hello. Hello, everybody out there. I don't know whether you can hear us over the sound of the wind and the rain and the distant thunder. This is Jeff D. I'm the host of the Nonprofits. Our co-host is Dennis Loubet. Dennis?
Hi. How's
and
it going?
Russell Glasser, our producer.
Hello.
And our engineer, Matt Dillahunty.
Hi.
We're live September 24, 2005. Broadcasting from Burnett Studios in beautiful Hunter's Chase in hurricane-ravaged Central Texas. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
We're under an awning. The winds are really picking up, but we've decided that we had better try to do a show. It's been a while since we were on the air, so I hope you'll bear with us as we try to get this broadcast out. We might cut out at any moment. There have been predictions that we'll lose power and so on. But we'll broadcast as long as we're able.
That's right.
I guess I should do announcements first.
Or who we are.
Or who we are. I said who we are. We're the Nonprofits.
I was distracted. Normally there's the group yell, but I was watching a weather vane.
That's only on our ad we do the group yell. You want to do a group yell? 3, 2, 1. The Nonprofits! There. The Celebrity Atheists page is a collection of notable individuals who have been public about their... Yeah!
God doesn't like celebrity atheists.
Notable individuals who have been public about their lack of belief in deities. The website is www.celebatheists.com. The CFI events calendar... contains these two events, October 27th through 30th, Toward a New Enlightenment, the International Academy of Humanism.
That's a hell of an enlightenment.
World Congress and the Council for Secular Humanism's 25th anniversary at the State University of New York at Buffalo, Amherst campus, and the Buffalo Marriott in Amherst. Distinguished scientists, academics, and authors from around the world will confront the moral and scientific challenges facing the world by backward-looking ideology and the urgent need to create a new roadmap toward a new enlightenment. General registration is $195 a person, which includes all conference sessions. To register or for more information, call the Council for Secular Humanism at 1-800-458-1366. On December 10th through 17th is the CFI Cruise. That's a little hard to believe right now, the idea of yeah. cruising around around Puerto Vallarta and places in the Gulf of Mexico, but it is December. I'm sure this will all cleared up by then, unless we're hit by a third hurricane.
Hey. It's not like this is going to go away.
So there's all these famous CFI people going to go on that. It's prices start at a mere $1,472.84 each for two to a cabin.
A bargain at half the price.
For more information and for reserving your spot on the CFI cruise, contact 1-800-398-7571 or cruise@cfiflorida.org. And that's the announcements.
Some other announcements about the chat room.
Yeah?
If you go to nonprofitsradio.com, you can check out how to join us in the chat room. And for you IRC whizzes, that is irc.wickedwire.com, wikkedwire.com, and the channel is #nonprofits. And again, that's Nonprofits with an O-P-H-E.
Yeah, you don't have to type out the burst of thunder.
Right.
Okay.
Also, new development since last show. We are now a podcast.
Whoa.
That's good, right?
That's very good.
It means aliens are storing us in pods and casting.
They're pod people. We're officially pod people.
That means that if you have an iPod... or you have iTunes from Apple installed on your computer, you can click on the podcast bar on the left, click on search, and type in either Nonprofits or just type in atheist, and you'll get several shows, and we're one of the top ones that you'll see. So all you have to do is then drag our podcast into your library, and from then on it will automatically download the show every time you log on to iTunes, and then it will sync up with your iPod automatically.
This is a scheme to force me to buy an iPod.
Yes.
But there's software you could run on your PC, right? And is that free?
Yes, that is free.
All right.
Do it that way.
And there's a loophole
you can do it that
scheme.
Way. There is? Oh, that's
please allow several days for laziness in uploading.
Yeah. Okay, so everybody's aware there's a hurricane. Second hurricane. What is this one?
Rita.
Rita is the second one.
Rita.
What? No.
That encyclopedia.
Katrina's not... I'm confused.
Katrina is over.
Yeah.
Katrina is so 3 weeks ago.
So, anyway. That's going on. Also, something I want to mention that's going on, that I don't think we have any real coverage of it here, but I think everybody should be aware, because you're not going to find this out at places like CNN, who you think would cover such things. There's a huge anti-war protest going on.
What? Where?
At the White House, on the lawn of the White House,
right now.
Gigantic, huge anti-war protest and call for impeachment.
How come I haven't heard anything about this?
You don't listen to Air America?
That would be why.
At least, there's nothing on CNN on their website as of this morning. Which is wrong. Just wrong. And, proof that we can't trust those people. What else do you want? Let's do some news, shall we? I think we can.
Sure.
Absolutely.
We're doing all right here. It's, you know, the wind, the storm kind of comes and goes. Maybe it's those bands of hurricane moving across us. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm just glad that the laser printers don't use water-soluble ink. This would be a mess otherwise.
And I want to, before we get any further, I want to make it clear that we, you know, we here at the nonprofits, we're in no particular danger, but of course our hearts and our best wishes and our donation dollars and supplies and things all go out to those people that are actually in some danger from this hurricane.
Yeah. Anyone living on the border between Louisiana and Texas.
Yeah.
And also the ones who still don't have homes from 3 weeks ago.
Right. Right. So, I mean, we're playing this up a little bit for laughs, but there's people actually in danger from this fucking thing. And we're against that. Okay.
We're anti-hurricane.
Yes. Just want to get
just
that,
so you know,
make that clear. We don't usually get political on the show, but we are against.
We're going out on a limb.
And we want to let people know that you're either with us or you're with the hurricane.
That's right.
That's right.
But don't be too with us, because there's only so much room under this awning.
Poppy says Reuters covered the protesters, saying they were a motley crew.
Of course. What a surprise. Isn't Reuters the group that's owned by the Moonies now?
No. Reuters is a real news...
Who are the guys? There's some big news service that's owned
Washington
by...
Washington Times.
No. That's their paper.
Oh,
one of these...
There's
one
an
of these,
actual news
yes,
service. I'll look it up.
That used to be reputable. Or sounds reputable.
You know, they own a lot of Falwell now, too.
Do they?
They bailed him out when the university was going to go under.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my.
Huge financial trouble. And despite the things that Falwell had said about Reverend Moon, that organization went through sub-channels to get him enough money to bail out his Bible.
I didn't
university.
Know that. Is this covered on the internet somewhere?
It's several years ago, and it's been denied, and you know that's not quite the way things worked. But the fact of the matter is, he took money from the movie.
Man.
The news service that
Typical.
You were thinking of is UPI.
UPI.
The United Press International.
Yeah.
Don't listen to anything that comes out of that. It's stupid.
Okay. Well, Motley Crue. There's a huge anti-war protest going on.
Yeah, Poppy goes on to say that the news story said they were disorganized and were all protesting about something different in very different groups and implied that they were unpatriotic. So I'm sure that's a fair and balanced news story.
sounds like.
Of course, that should be a reminder to people that we interact live with the chat room, nonprofitsradio.com.
Yeah.
Check out how to join us while the show is going on September 24th.
All right. So what do you want to start with? Do you want to start with hurricane-related news? Should we do that first?
Sure.
Seems like a good time. Russell, what do you got?
Well, two different people in New Orleans, and this is from several weeks ago, but we've been off for longer than that.
Uh-huh.
Two different Christian leaders in New Orleans talked about how Hurricane Katrina represented God's mercy.
Oh.
One of them said that the death toll could have been much higher if it weren't for God's mercy. And the other one said that God used the hurricane to purge wickedness from the city.
Wow. Uh-huh. They've nicely bookended that.
Yes.
Whatever it meant, God gets credit.
Yes. Chuck Kelly is president of New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, with facilities located near the southern banks of Lake Pontchartrain in Chalmette, east of the city. Baptist Press reports that Kelly now finds himself homeless and with only a few personal belongings following Hurricane Katrina's devastating blow to the New Orleans area, but the seminary leader says he is able to discern God's hand in the situation.
Wait a minute. Is this the it could have been worse guy?
Yes,
or is
it
this,
is.
This is not the God was punishing us guy.
Yes.
Because it would be ironic if the guy who lost his home said, "This is God punishing us."
Of course.
Go on.
He says, "Imagine what would have happened if New Orleans had taken a direct hit," he tells BP.
Did New Orleans not take a direct hit?
How
much
was
it off?
I guess.
A glancing blow. A lot of people had talked about how, in some cases, was God going after homosexuals because there was going to be a big homosexual rally, and of course, the French Quarter is home to a lot of gay pride events and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And yet, ironically, that's the part of New Orleans which has survived the most escape.
Uh-huh.
So God's aim's a little off.
Well, it's that shield, that magical shield of homosexuality that protected them.
It's the pink.
The magical shield of homosexuality.
Sure.
Maybe
yes. When the gays withdraw their magical shield of protection, that's when you have to be worried about things like this.
Oh yes.
Right.
Go on.
Again.
Their magical rainbow colored shield.
Sure, of course. Of course. It's a triangular shield. Pink.
When I heard the hurricane was headed towards our area, this latest one, I immediately went looking for my hairdresser.
Yeah.
To try.
Did you go gay? Come on, tell us you went gay, then we'll know that we're protected.
If it'll protect me from the storm, you know, I'll miss a guy.
And if your presence here will protect us, then you can stay on the show.
I'll move my chair over here.
I actually have what I think is a much more valid theory, and that is, none of us actually believe that a God exists, but we don't know for sure that there could or couldn't be a God.
Of course.
But we do know that the nonprofit show exists, because while we're doing
sure.
it...
Yeah.
And this hurricane stuff started while we were during our hiatus. And now that we're coming back.
In fact, it's the return of the nonprofits show, which will put an end to this series of hurricanes. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Rita is diminishing just
as
we're getting going on the air. And there's no immediate threat of any others. If no other hurricanes show up this season, then I think...
Back, you hurricane!
It's proof that the nonprofits...
The power of doubt compels you!
And we offer this service free of charge.
We do indeed.
Poppy is very impressed that we're actually outside.
No hurricane too big.
Yeah, we can see.
You want your hurricane eliminated?
We are outside. We can see.
Some of our listeners thought there was like a hum in the background, but that's the rain.
I think maybe we need to turn the storm have a mic?
Microphone to
the storm's mic. Turn that up. Just
filter out the background noise a little more.
Because maybe people don't get the full effect. Of course, it's subsided now a little bit.
That's better.
So yeah. I guess so. I guess
yeah,
I guess we also.
That's great, man.
We are the bane of the weather.
Magical protective power.
That's right. We're the windbusters.
Yeah.
Imagine if gays and atheists united. What kind of a magical
My
shield
God.
That would be? Yes. So
Paradise.
as this Baptist minister said, imagine what would have happened if New Orleans had taken a direct hit. Why, it would probably been the greatest loss, or the only time that an entire city was lost in U.S. history.
Pretty much lost.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the other guy?
The other guy, Reverend Bill Shanks, pastor of New Covenant Fellowship of New Orleans, also sees God's mercy in the aftermath of Katrina, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Shanks says the hurricane has wiped out much of the rampant sin common to the city. The pastor explains that for years he has warned people that unless Christians in New Orleans took a strong stand against such things as local abortion clinics, the yearly Mardi Gras celebrations, and the annual event known as Southern Decadence, an annual six-day gay pride event, God's judgment would be felt.
So is this guy saying that that first minister's house that got destroyed, that there was sin going on there?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
It's collateral damage.
And how does he... And don't make excuses.
So is it is it punishment or is it mercy? Make up your frickin' mind, you morons.
They have each made up their minds.
Each one of them has made up their minds.
There's Christianity is a pretty big market, and there's different market segments. And there's the, we want this to be God's wrath against the people we don't like segment.
Right.
And there's the, we want to believe that everything's going to be okay because God's protecting us segment.
Right.
And there are different markets, and it's just like some people want the shampoo with the conditioner in, and some people want the regular shampoo. It's just, they're just different market segments.
Yeah.
How does the second guy, I want to know, explain the God's failure to score a direct hit with his hurricane?
I don't think it's...
Shut up there, God. We're trying to do a show.
Well, he does say, however, New Orleans is now abortion-free. New Orleans is now Mardi Gras-free. New Orleans is now free of Southern decadence and the sodomites, the witchcraft workers,
false religion. It's free of abortion. It just has dead babies floating around in the rancid water.
Well, it's free of all people, which means that if you carry this to its logical conclusion, it's a good thing if all evil is eradicated from the earth by destroying all of humanity.
Also, I would point out, nobody in New Orleans believes in God anymore. How about that? Because there's nobody
there.
That's
a good point. He drove all the Christians out of New Orleans, too, and he actually destroyed one of their houses.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know.
I love this, though, because I heard my favorite show, The Bible Answer Man, interviewing a guy talking about how could God have let this happen. And his response was basically to read a Bible passage where Jesus said, don't ask why bad things happen to good people. Ask why worse shit isn't happening to you. That was pretty much it. But he said it in such a way as to make it sound he was reciting Christian love.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's a very nice sounding guy.
Why dost thou still allow me to walk?
Huh. Okay, more hurricane stuff. I got one.
Hurricanes.
I got one. Should I do mine?
Sure.
This is nuts. This is sort of, you know, post-Katrina, pre-Rita news. The presence of the supernatural and the influence of voodoo have long been synonymous with New Orleans. In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, members of the U.S. military are saying that there's something spooky going on, and it's not just images of death and destruction that's haunting them. By all accounts, the Sophie B. Wright Middle School in New Orleans sits empty and evacuated except for military personnel who have taken over the campus as a staging site for missions around the battered city. But the men in uniform have the feeling that they're not alone. It prompted a chaplain to utter this directive, quote, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, Satan, to leave the dark areas of this building." All right, now, Russell, would you please share with everyone URL? This is from a news story from a California paper, and these are California National Guard troops being reported on. by a woman with a the reporter in question has a rather limited number of brain cells, in my opinion.
Yes,
but,
well, if you're listening to the chat, or if you're in the chat room now, or reading the chat log after, you can see it. But if you're not, it's tinyurl.com/82DKB.
Also, we're going to post this. Also, we're going to post this on our website.
Right.
Yeah, that's the link to the local California. Did I say newspaper? I meant TV station. That they have the same story as video, and it's a little bit more extensive. You know, this when they say that it prompted a chaplain to utter this directive, blah blah blah, by driving Satan out. That is a United States military chaplain performing an exorcism, folks. This has gone way beyond like harassing Jewish soldiers for not being Christian, or merely saying that there's no atheists in the military.
Right.
This is a chaplain in the United States. These guys are not normal military. They're what is the word?
National
Guard. Thank you.
But that's his job.
Still, right? Guy works for the freaking federal government.
Yeah, but he also conducts church services.
Performing an exorcism.
And he performs church services all the time.
Now, that's bad enough.
But
this
that's
is
his job.
Way over the fucking top.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. So this story goes on. There's all these... There's this chaplain going around encouraging the troops in his unit to believe that there's spooks. And
great.
And then there's some crap about Bibles found open to the Book of Revelations.
Oh,
well, you know.
No one's going to do that.
Ugh. It's deeply stupid and irritating. And everybody needs to know.
And completely credulous.
Yeah. But, yeah, of course, it's just the tip of the iceberg as far as religious opportunism is concerned when it comes to these hurricanes. There's another story I want to do right away. Something going on here in Texas that ties into this Katrina thing. Austin. About 2,000 socially conservative ministers across Texas collected more than tithes today. That's back in the 17th. As they called on their congregations to register to vote so they can be ready to add a ban on gay marriage to the state constitution in the November election. This is Texas we're talking about.
Right.
Here. Texas, the very same Texas we're broadcasting from. The very same Texas that is only being protected thanks to the protective power of the gay rainbow shield.
Mm-hmm.
And these people want to stop that. They want to make that illegal. Obviously, because when there's hurricanes, they score big. They can then spin the hurricane into this gigantic money-making machine.
Right.
They don't freaking care. Then they'll tell their flocks whatever they want. Whatever they want to hear. You want to hear that, the reason you're still alive is because God loves you? I will tell you that. You want to hear the reason those other people are dead is because God hates them? We'll tell you that.
Yep.
And they'll get money for it. That is why they want to stop homosexuality. I'm now convinced. Because
gay. Stop the gay shit.
Yeah, because
yeah, they
because,
want the hurricanes. They want the disasters.
Yeah.
Because without people being vulnerable, they have no chance.
Right. Right. And the incredible power of gay love
that
is protected has protected this nation from hurricanes up until now.
Right.
The Texas Restoration Project, which organized the voter registration drive, says the effort is an attempt to bring morality to government by empowering Christian voters, regardless of party. But critics say the Texas Restoration Project is nothing more than an adjunct of the state Republican Party and Governor Rick Perry's re-election campaign.
Re-education campaign.
Sorry, re-election.
I didn't vote for his re-education campaign.
No, because the way he wants to re-educate people is...
Well, I mean
in,
for him to be re-educated.
Yeah, no, he's not into that. The political consulting firm handling the Texas Restoration Project's logistics... Yeah, I don't like them either. is a company that did $3.2 million in business last year with the state GOP and Republican candidates for office. It is headed by the former spokesman for a Republican congressman and the former executive director of the Texas Republican Party. The Texas Restoration Project is chaired by the Reverend Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston.
Oh,
not his final harvest.
White said the project is an effort to restore Bible-based morality in America. Quote,
damn it.
We will have citizenship Sundays that are intended and designed to encourage... They're both intended and designed. To encourage the voters then registered to turn out... and vote, and to vote as Christians, to vote not on the basis of their party affiliation or their economic status or their ethnic background, but as Christians. At the core of the current voter registration drive is Proposition 2, a state a proposed state constitutional amendment on the November ballot that would define marriage as the union of one man with one woman and would prohibit civil unions. Texas already has a law banning gay marriage. Remember, we got that along with... If the amendment is adopted, its supporters say, it would safeguard that law from judicial challenges. The Texas Restoration Project was formed in May and has had a series of closed-door pastor policy briefings in Austin, Fort Worth, Houston, and San Antonio. Governor Rick Perry has been a featured guest at the meetings. The expenses for ministers attending one Austin meeting were paid for by the project, but it has not organized as either a political committee or a nonprofit organization. White declined to say who provided the financing, but denied it was connected to the state GOP or Perry's campaign. Kathy Miller, president of the Texas Freedom Network, says she thinks the project should be registered as a political committee because its voter registration drive...
Wow, that was nice.
Thank you! ...is aimed at affecting the November election. The Texas Freedom Network is a self-proclaimed watchdog group focused on the activities of the religious right.
Ready?
Yeah. Religious right.
Aww.
Nothing.
I hate it when God doesn't let us do repeatable experiments.
The Texas group's events have been put together by a firm run by Craig Murphy, former spokesman for U.S. Representative Joe Barton, and Wayne Hamilton, former executive director for the Texas Republican Party. White adamantly denied the project is connected to the state GOP. White said Perry was invited to the meetings because he is the governor and has pushed a moral agenda. Quote, I'm sure there are a good many Republicans who wish we would go away so they could get on with their wishy-washing and complaining.
I didn't know you could verbize that.
Wow.
Yeah, wishy-washing. Yeah. Washing your wishy. Hey! Maybe this guy's gay! there was no compromising in speeches gave at the Texas Restoration Project meetings. He said he plans to vote to ban gay marriage. Though reporters were banned from the meeting, I'm sorry, barred from the meeting, same difference, the governor's office released the text. It is a ridiculous notion to say you can't legislate morality, Perry said. I say you can't not legislate morality.
Oh, great.
Actually, you can. You can avoid legislating morality. You can legislate necessity. You can legislate, you know, things you got to do in order for
there to be a society.
For there to be a society and for it to run smoothly.
Right.
Morality is not required. Okay, here's where we wrap this back into the previous story. Clergy who supported the Freedom Network have gotten into at least two of the Texas Restoration Project events, reporting that at the September 8 meeting in Houston, the Reverend Dwight McKissick, pastor of the Cornerstone Baptist Church in southwest Arlington, ended his speech by saying, America is going down the same path as Sodom and Gomorrah, and asked if Hurricane Katrina was God's way of purifying America. McKissick said his comment was taken out of context and was not directed just was not directed just at homosexual behavior, but also at unmarried heterosexual activity, society's unjust treatment of the poor, and crimes in corporate boardrooms.
Unjust treatment of the poor? Isn't that like something that... Well, that isn't that something that the Republican constituency this would normally appeal to?
There's an easy test to see if that was taken out of context. You see whether these people invite him back to the next meeting, right? Because if he really did talk about society's unjust treatment of the poor, he's not going back to the next meeting. If he actually cares about that.
Right.
These are Republicans. Okay. There's more Katrina news in the news.
What?
Oh, yeah. You guys have any? Nobody else? Russell, do you have any more? Katrina?
I got nothing. No, I've got something about the gay shield.
You do? Well, let's do that after this one.
Okay.
I'll do this one more, so we can sort of keep the topics together. Okay. Religious groups have pitched out to help with effort... Let me start again. It's way too many prepositions. In, out, over, under, beyond. Those are prepositions, right?
Yes.
Religious groups have pitched in to help out with relief efforts after Hurricane Katrina and are now preparing for Hurricane Rita, a Category 5 storm. Well, it was 3 by the time it hit the coast, right? This is a couple of days old, this story. Now preparing for Hurricane Rita, on course to barrel into Texas. So where some point of global warming as a root cause of this double whammy of calamity, others see a divine plan at work. They believe the hurricanes are God's punishment for various sins. Katrina struck a few days before the annual Southern Decadence celebration in New Orleans. Festivities that repent America. Oh, I know I'm reading it badly. If you'd stop interrupting! Festivities that Repent America, a Philadelphia religious group, says, fill the French Quarters section of the city with drunken homosexuals engaging in sex acts in the public streets and bars. Yeah, and you stopped them. You bastards. New Orleans would be standing today. Mardi Gras, with women exposing their breasts in exchange for trinkets, and the presence of abortion clinics... exposing their breasts in response in exchange for the presence of abortion clinics? This is badly written. It's not my fault.
Yes.
Has made New Orleans one of the murder capitals of the world. Wait a minute.
Baby, if you show me your tits, then I'll give you some beads and open abortion clinic down the street.
Has made New Orleans into one of the murder capitals of the world and a pit of sin, stated Repent America director Michael Markovich. Although the loss of lives is deeply saddening, this act of God destroyed a wicked city, Markovich said. From Girls Gone Wild to Southern Decadence, New Orleans was a city that had its doors wide open to the public celebration of sin. He added, from the devastation may a city full of righteousness emerge. I'm so sick of these people.
That would be the Taliban, wouldn't it?
You know, these things he didn't like, none of his fucking business.
Right.
None of his business at all, period. He doesn't have to do it. Huh?
He doesn't have to do it.
WorldNetDaily.com, the conservative website, reports from Jerusalem, quote, while most religious authorities seem to agree one cannot discern the intentions of God, there has been talk in some circles here and on the internet that the storm that turned parts of the Gulf Coast into a disaster zone, prompting hundreds of thousands to evacuate their homes and possibly causing upwards of 10,000 deaths. What is the death toll at right now? Last I heard, it was about 1,000.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, at least the official count. So.
Possibly causing upwards of 10,000 deaths, was thrust upon the U.S. for its support of the Gaza evacuation.
Oh, man. Yeah, you could just apply it to anything. It's a Nature's Forces are a big Rorschach inkblot test.
Katrina, quote, Katrina is a consequence of the destruction of Gaza's Gush Katif's Jewish communities, with America's urging and encouragement, Rabbi Avraham Shmuel Lewin, executive director of the Rabbinic Congress for Peace, told WND.
Well, of course, what else could it be?
The U.S. should have discouraged Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon from implementing the Gaza evacuation rather than pushing for it and pressuring Israel into concessions. Yeah, you're right. It's the all-purpose accusation.
Right. And any religion can use it, apparently.
Some natural disaster occurred for which nobody is really at fault. Therefore, we get to say that it was because of our pet issue.
Right. Our God did it. Whatever.
WND also talked to Rabbi Joseph Garlitsky, head of the International Chabad Lubavitch Movement's Tel Aviv Synagogue. He told of a speech he had made from the pulpit recently, quote, "We don't have prophets who can tell us exactly what God's what are God's ways, but when we see something so enormous as Katrina, I would say President Bush and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice need to make an accounting for their actions because something was done wrong by America in a big way. And here there are many obvious Why the fuck are they they pointing to the hurricane? There's a giant anti-war demonstration going on in Washington right now. If you need evidence that George Bush did something wrong, that's something where you can actually walk up to an actual human being involved in making that happen, and they will tell you they're there because George Bush did something wrong.
When we see something this big, we abandon our rational thought and simply say, ooh, this is an opportunity to say our God did it.
And here there are many obvious connections between the storm and the Gaza evacuation, which came right on top of each other. Ooh. What? So it's the Gaza evacuation and not gay sex.
Right.
Or is this coming right on top of each other and has something to do with it? Is that some gay
sex? Don't even go there.
I'm telling you, what they need is they need a small army of gays to go to the Gaza and to perform to have wonderful gay sex there to protect the evacuation that's going on. Because otherwise, you know, if God's really after them, there could be some kind of, I guess you can't have a hurricane.
Sandstorm,
sure. Maybe sandstorm out there in Gaza. Yeah. Something, you know, God can actually move up. Or else, you know, he'll just, there'll be a meteor strike in Delaware. But because there happens to also be the evacuation going on, why then
that's
they
That's why it was done.
That because of that. BeliefNet.com, a website that tracks religious news, ran a poll asking, does God have a role in natural disasters like hurricanes? 6% answered, yes, God is punishing us. Another 12% checked, yes, God is testing us. 29% agreed that disasters are sent by God, but we don't know what his purpose was.
Well, there's and only so many things it could be, really.
8% said, God doesn't exist, and disasters like this are just forces of nature.
Good for them.
Yep. That is a nice solid percent, a nice solid unbeliever percent to show up on a place like BeliefNet.
Not just unbelievers, but people who are willing to.
Well, these are unbelievers because they say,
yes.
they checked, God doesn't exist and disasters are just forces
okay,
of nature.
So there's probably a bunch more people who say, I don't know.
Yeah, just 8% of the people who responded to that poll on BeliefNet. Right. Are atheists.
That's impressive.
Well, you know, BeliefNet actually is kind of liberal about. I think BeliefNet actually does attract
That's true. That's true. But it's not like it's got a huge. Atheists don't. No atheist in my acquaintance spends a lot of time hanging out at BeliefNet. They occasionally check it for sources and stuff.
And there may also be. An inconsistency as to the number of atheists with computers and computer access overall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also,
that's all true.
You know that when a poll shows...
We're always curious what percentage of our of the nation are, in fact, actually
atheists.
Yeah,
but you can't get that from internet polls because, you know, whenever a poll like that shows up, like my atheist board, somebody posts it and says, let's go all make sure to go vote in that poll.
Did they?
I'm sure it shows up at alt.atheism and other atheist sites.
All right.
Just because we're sensitive about being a minority.
All right.
So I've got a sidetrack on Katrina.
Yeah.
FEMA's relief efforts have brought considerable assistance to at least one man who stands to benefit from Hurricane Katrina, perhaps more than any other in the village.
Oh, no.
Anybody know who it is?
More than Halliburton?
I don't know.
But go for it.
Pat Robertson.
Oh, no, dear.
I would have said Cheney.
Yeah. With the Bush administration's approval, Robertson's $66 million relief organization called Operation Blessing has been prominently featured on FEMA's list of charitable groups accepting donations for hurricane relief. Richard Walden, president of the disaster relief group Operation USA, doesn't understand why they're getting this attention, because that gives Pat Robertson millions of extra dollars. Operation USA has conducted disaster relief for more than 25 years on five continents, with scores of other secular relief groups currently helping Hurricane Katrina. It was omitted from FEMA's list. In fact, only two non-faith-based organizations were included on FEMA's list. One of them was the American Red Cross, who they...
Couldn't very well ignore that.
What?
The American Red Cross was blocked from entering New Orleans for a period of time, despite being on the list of organizations that were called on to help. Now, I don't really care. If you're willing to do good, I don't care what your religion is or anything
else.
But Robertson's slightly different case here. We've got the guy who called for the assassination of Hugo Chavez.
Mm-hmm.
He blamed 9/11 on America's tolerance of abortion and homosexuality and atheism.
Yeah.
He declared the Supreme Court a greater threat.
As you know, the gays are responsible for withdrawing their shield of protection over New York City, which enabled those planes to... run into those buildings
like they did. But if you take a look at Robertson's history with Operation Blessing.
I'm right here.
I know. I'd like to ask, in 1994 you made an emotional plea on the 700 Club.
I did.
To Operation Blessing. To support airlifts of refugees from the Rwandan Civil War to Zaire.
Yes, well, as you know, those refugees were in danger of their lives, and it's merely Christian charity to move them out of there.
Then why is it that the Operation Blessing planes were transporting diamond mining equipment for the African Development Corporation, which you own?
Well, those evacuees were diamond workers, and the equipment was necessary in order to enable them to remain employed.
Virginia's office of
Consumer Affairs. Wow.
God appeared to me and said, he said, Pat, you can't just be letting all that mining equipment go to waste. You want to help those evacuees by giving them profitable employment.
Well, the Virginia Office of Consumer Affairs, which analyzed this, said that you willfully induced contributions from the public through the use of misleading statements and other implications.
Everyone knows. What was the name of that organization?
Virginia Office of Consumer Affairs.
Everybody knows that the Virginia Office of Consumer Affairs is a nest of Satan and his minions, and his dark minions. You would only expect a bunch of Wiccans and homosexuals to say such a thing about me.
But interestingly, one guy came to your defense, Virginia Attorney General Mark Early. Came to your defense and intervened with his own report,
He's also a practicing homosexual.
But he came to your defense.
He came to your defense
and agreed that while you made deceptive appeals, you shouldn't be prosecuted.
He's been trying very hard to come back to the Lord.
Didn't you donate $35,000 to Early's campaign fund?
Now that's a mis that's a misunderstanding of what was actually going on. You see,
That's amazing. All right,
I'm sorry. I can't keep this going.
That's amazing.
I'm afraid I'm gonna not answer any more questions.
Okay. Then I'll just list off the other things you're accused of. Like you're accused of violating the ministry's tax-exempt nonprofit status by using it to market a diet shake that you licensed to GNC. Which is still being advertised on your personal website. You invested $520,000 in a racehorse named Mr. Pat, violating biblical ambitions.
Mr. Pat, who is also a... No, I'm sorry.
You've even been accused of Jim Crow-style racial discrimination by black employees who successfully sued your Christian coalition for forcing them to enter its offices through a back door and eat in a segregated area.
Wow.
He's gone.
Pat Robertson has run the fuck
run
away.
You can see him, like, running into his car.
I just saw in the chat room somebody asking us why we don't talk about the direct hit of the hurricane Mississippi.
I don't think he was asking us.
Oh.
He said anyone in general.
Yeah, oh. That
I have no idea. I haven't even looked at the news today. I don't know what's going on with the hurricane.
To fill you in on that conversation a little more, I was pointing out that, Rita, which hit in Texas, also indicates that God must hate rednecks.
Yeah. Which would be bad news for the church.
Right.
Because that's a big chunk of their income.
On the September 5th edition of the 700 Club, which is Pat Robertson's little thingy.
We know all about the 700
Club. Yeah. Correspondent Gary Lane from outside the ruined New Orleans Convention Center, which had housed mostly impoverished black disaster victims throughout the weekend, reported that a number of possessions left behind suggest the mindset of some of the evacuees. They include a voodoo cup with the saying, "May the curse be with you." Also, music CDs with the
joke.
Titles.
Comedy trinkets really above God.
Also,
wait till you see what he does with the fake vomit and the whoopee cushion.
But the thing is, the 700 Club sent a guide down there, and they focused in on a voodoo cup and a pile of rap CDs.
Yeah.
Saying that this suggests the mindset of the evacuees. They follow that up with...
is this after the evacuees were gone? These were things left behind? So they're going through these people's stuff after they're gone, after they've evacuated.
Willington Boone, a black minister, came on to kind of provide a counterpoint to Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Phil.
And Boone said, "We need to consider the culture of these people still stranded in New Orleans. The looting of property, the trashing of property, etc., speaks to the basic character of these people. These people who have gone through slavery, segregation, and the voting rights are doing this to themselves."
Yeah, what does it say about the character of people that go down to poke around through the personal belongings left behind by some evacuees in order to dig up dirt on them?
They're a bunch of pricks. They're trying to get as much money as they can for themselves and justify their little religious superstitions however they possibly can.
Well, you know what else reveals the mindset of the evacuees?
What?
And actually is revealing of a lot. I hadn't printed this, but it came up in the conversation with Bobby. You know what the first place to try to reopen was in New Orleans?
Strip joints.
Strip joints.
Dollar lap dances.
Yeah, of course there weren't any girls back.
That would be awkward then.
But the guy managed
the dances were so cheap.
The guy who was described as a corpulent man with a strawberry blonde beard and a t-shirt reading, "I'm smiling because they haven't found the bodies yet," foresaw a few problems getting strippers back. He reopened. He used a generator to fire up his electricity again so he could have the big neon swinging legs on the roof.
Great.
And he expects them back any day now.
Hey?
But probably not now because Rita just ran roughshod over New Orleans again.
I'd like to digress for a moment here and talk about one story which illustrates the fruits of Christianity going after people. I'm not talking about homosexuals right now.
Right.
Come on, they're shielding us.
I know. I love those guys, but
I'm off that subject
love
right now.
Look this guy's butt. No, go ahead. Continue. Sorry.
We really, you know, we got to get one of the gay guys in the ACA to be on this show, because when it's straight guys talking about gay guys, even when we try to be, like, you know, normal about it.
Yes.
Yeah, when we try to be enlightened, I think it comes off as kind of crass. And I'm certainly guilty of that. So
I'm crass, but I am going to go vote.
Hell yeah. Okay. Just to see what happens when the Christians try to oppress people with other beliefs. We've been covering this story for quite some time. Darla K. Wynn is a Wiccan who went to the City Council of Great Falls, South Carolina. I believe it's South Carolina. Saying, well, you guys do a prayer before your city council meetings. I want to give a Wiccan address. They told her no. She sued. She won. Well,
of course.
Here's the final wrap-up. Following a 40-minute closed-door session, Mayor H.C. Starnes Jr. announced the town of Great Falls has received an order to pay attorney fees from U.S. District Judge Cameron McGowan Curry. In a court document filed September 15, Curry found Darla K. Wynn is entitled to recover attorney fees in the amount of $53,000 and costs and expenses in the amount of over $1,000 for a total of $54,874.
Cool.
The amount of the judgment, the document stated, shall be entered against all defendants in their official capacity only. Starnes said the town would begin by paying the $1,792 for expenses. Council made no determination how they plan to pay the $53,000 balance for fees and other costs. So there you go. Go ahead, Christians. Go after people that don't share your beliefs.
You don't
freaking
understand
really
the law.
It's going to cost you.
Yeah. Maybe they could give her $1,000 a week in compensation by allowing her to deliver the weekly prayer every week for the next year.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't think they're allowed to pay for those prayers, though.
Yeah, well.
By the way, in a rather unrelated, sort of just thematically related thing, mm-hmm. there's a great website up where a guy snuck into Heritage USA. Remember the theme park that Jim and Tammy Baker set up and took photographs of the state that it's in now?
Oh, no.
Because it's been
abandoned
for years. Actually, bits of it are still in use by various groups, but only some bits.
Uh-huh.
The vast majority of it is overgrown with weeds and falling to pieces, and there's all these photographs on there.
Oh, that's great.
If you go to the Internet Infidels Newswire page, they have a link to this.
Oh, that's nice.
Maybe, yeah, Russell, if you would hunt that down and give them a tiny URL.
I'm sorry, what was the story again?
Heritage USA is is a ghost town now, largely. And it's in the first chunk there. You'll just have to find it. It's a ghost town now, and he's got funny photos. Okay. I think we're done, finally, with the hurricane.
Yeah,
and
cool.
It's still drizzling a bit in the background, but I mean, our news stories about
it. I'm sure it'll pick up.
We did that.
Just a few yards away from me, I noticed some leaves being blown away.
Yes.
It was.
It's been worse. I saw the heaviest object I think I saw was a trash can.
Blown over.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like I said, we're really at the very fringe of it, and
not
getting that much. Okay, that's Russell. You looked up a wrong thing. We're looking for the news story. Which is it's pictures from Heritage USA.
Photos of rotting Jesus land.
Yeah,
that
photos of rotting Jesus land.
Gotcha.
All right, so we'll share that with the audience. You have to. It sort of starts slow, but if you page through all the pictures, by the end you'll be feeling pretty good about the capacity for Christian organizations to just completely disintegrate and go away. On the other hand, you'll probably also be left with this, like, burning anger in the pit of your stomach at the utter waste of money that was caused by religion.
Right. Where'd this money for this thing come from? All these little old ladies giving their life savings.
Rita doesn't like that either. The goddess Rita. I've decided what we need to do is just personify the hurricane itself as a supernatural entity.
The Rita.
Is that Rita is Katrina's girlfriend.
They're lesbians.
They are the lesbian goddesses of hurricane season.
Lesbian goddesses don't want to come and kill a bunch of people.
They were trying to get rid of the rednecks so that Southern decadence could go on without any interruption.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Slightly off topic, though, on topic for Hurricane Rita, I want to plug people going and checking out Google Earth, because it's something I just discovered
this week or last week.
It's earth.google.com, where you go and download a program where if you have a fast internet connection and a decent 3D card, you can see the Earth and spin it around and zoom in, and it automatically downloads satellite photos. So you can start out in space and zoom way in.
Is this
on
like
your
that thing you showed us a few years ago, Dennis?
Yeah, sure.
But this is free?
I guess.
This is free.
Another version of Keystone, which is the same thing they're using for Google Maps. But it's not real-time photos, of course.
No, but you can, on their BBS, find live updates from the weather service where you can see crude... maps, and I've been watching Katrina move around for the last few days, and I can actually
see you were.
Oh, yeah. Rita.
Rita.
But Rita and Katrina
you
both.
You need to be watching Rita and Katrina both move around.
Lovely, Rita.
Hurricane on hurricane action.
Come on. All right, guys.
Hurricane's gone wild.
Come on, Katrina.
Hey, Rita, show us your tits.
All right, guys, far be it from me to, like, be the guy that says we should be more tasteful on this show, but really, must I remind you, we are over 1,000 deaths from Katrina. So
that might be the first sign of the apocalypse, the day that Jeff has to call in the rest of
us. Yes. Oh, boy.
All right,
well, let's sort of slide into the more political portion of our show.
Oh, no, okay.
We talked about... Some peripheral things. You want the Jeb story?
Jeb.
Okay, people, Jeb. You're not going to freaking believe this unless you've already encountered this story yourself and looked it up.
Because we're still not.
I didn't believe it. We had to check it out on the net.
I could have sworn it was the Onion.
Yeah.
After more than an hour of solemn ceremony naming Republican Marco Rubio of West Miami as the 2007-2008 House Speaker, Florida's Governor Jeb Bush stepped up to the podium in the House chamber last week, this is, I guess, around the 11th, and told a short story about unleashing Chang, his mystical warrior friend.
Chang.
This is Governor of Florida, the president's brother, has... a mystical warrior friend named Chang.
And there's never been a better time for a zipper sound effect.
Here are Bush's words. Wow, I think...
the rain has slacked off for a
minute. It looks like we're in the eye of the hurricane. Just in time for the all-important Governor Jeb Bush and his invisible friend story. Okay, here are Bush's words spoken before hundreds of lawmakers and politicians.
Cool, yeah.
Quote, Chang is a mystical warrior. Chang is somebody who believes in conservative principles, believes in entrepreneurial capitalism, believes in moral values that underpin a free society.
They were really into that.
I rely on Chang with great regularity in my public life. He has been by my side, and sometimes I let him down. But Chang, the mystical warrior, has never let me down. Bush then unsheathed a golden sword and gave it to Rubio as a gift. I'm going to bestow to you the sword of a great conservative warrior, he said, as the crowd roared. What the fuck?
I gotta think he was, like, speaking metaphorically.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd have to, like... go screaming out into the storm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, I think a golden sword is very symbolic of what they value, because a golden sword would be, like, useless in battle.
Yes,
it? I mean,
of course.
Gold doesn't hold together very well.
No.
So it's extremely expensive for
pretty
no reason.
Useless.
Yes. You're saying it's a fine symbol of conservative principles.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm sure that Chang...
Okay,
apparently,
I have done some more research on this. Apparently, this Chang thing comes from the Elder Bush, who talked about Chang, the mystical warrior, and has been taken up by Jep.
What?
Does Chang tell them to do things?
It's not at all clear from this.
Chang lives in the basement of the Skull and Bones building.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Chang, the mystical warrior with the golden sword, is going to freaking show up in my role-playing campaign.
Yeah, yeah,
as
absolutely.
A supervillain.
God damn, Chang.
Fuck. One strike from his mighty sword, and it is bent in twain.
And isn't Jeb, like, one of the people they're looking at for their
next
Republican president?
But remember, you know, the Calico thing? Cats thing got out about... what's his name?
Fucktard.
This will be translated in English momentarily.
Who was the guy who was afraid of cats?
It was one of the big guys
Ashcroft.
In the...
Ashcroft. Thank you.
It started with an A, and I could not...
Isn't he the same one
folks,
that's afraid of tits?
I apologize. Yes. He's also afraid of breasts.
Oh.
I apologize for that lapse in my memory, but I do make a practice of purging these people from my memory the moment they're no longer in power. Because as soon as I don't have to care about them anymore, I really don't want to.
Unfortunately, so does the rest of the country, which is why we got them all back.
Well, we didn't get them all back. We don't have Ashcroft again. What is
no,
Ashcroft
I mean,
doing?
After they were in the Reagan administration.
He's counting his money.
Oh.
We forgot them that time, too.
All right. So, how are we doing on time?
We have 15 minutes.
15 minutes left. Russ, Dennis, do you want to do one? You're going through your papers there.
Sure. I got some real short ones here.
Okay.
Pope barring gay seminarians.
Pope barring gay seminarians.
Yes, he doesn't want gay protection.
Right.
So,
good, I'm glad.
He's got the Popeville.
This is,
yeah, but the entire organization has been protected, as you know, by its rainbow gay sex shield. All these many years.
Yeah, he's basically saying that, you know, a Vatican policy document indicating that men with homosexual tendencies should not be ordained as Catholic priests. Well, wow, big surprise. Okay.
I wonder how many priests they'd lose if they forced all the ones.
That's
who
one
gay.
We were. That's one thing that
if
somebody brought up.
If you're a priest and gay, you have to leave now.
They're,
and there's like this sucking sound coming from
everywhere.
Well.
Now I went to a gay media site. Tracking down some of this mm-hmm. story, and I don't know how serious this was, but there was an estimate there that a very high percentage of Catholic priests may, in fact, be gay, and that the church would be in really serious straits. They already can't find people to be priests. This has been a story in the news for the past several years. Catholic Church is
there's only so many pedophiles. I mean, come on.
Maybe
you're saying they ran out?
Yeah, leave no child behind. You know.
I think.
I was just going to say.
I want to make it clear that I do not consider gay people to be particularly drawn to the priesthood. I mean, in the sense that most of them are already there, which is what you were just implying, Dennis.
Yeah, I think the more important thing isn't how many priests are gay, it's how many priests are evil, frickin' monsters.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, or you might argue that being celibate and wearing the funny hats all that time
turns people into evil monsters.
And having your sense of sexuality warped beyond all recognition just makes people that way.
Yeah, and by the way, pedophilia is not exactly about gay sex.
No, hell no.
Not at all.
It's
not
about
all.
Pedophilia. All right.
Another one.
Yeah.
Because here is if it was priests going out and having sex with grown men, we would not be covering this at all.
Right, really because care. Then it would be it, then it would be consensual.
Yeah.
And more
unless
power
it was like
to
a
him.
Gang of priests picking out some random guy. Then it would be consensual.
That would
be
disturbing.
Yep.
And, here, and it would make a good Lifetime movie of the week or
something.
No, I don't.
Should I do a story?
The religious right is all a cream about the Penguin movie. So it's
I've
like,
seen that Penguin movie.
I know. They say it's perfect, you know, family values and stuff. He says, you know, Ben Hunter, a minister at the network, said of the Penguin struggle for survival, some of the circumstances they experience seem to parallel those of Christians. The Penguin is falling behind like some Christians are falling behind. The path changes every year and they find their way like the Holy Spirit.
What a retard.
From the director, it's more like...
No offense to people who are actually mentally
here's
disabled.
The director.
This guy has no excuse.
Here's the director. You know, the problem with intelligent design is that there's no conceivable observation in nature that can disprove the idea. It's not part of science, which is why scientists are not interested in it. A group of penguins standing upright looks like cooperation, but in fact the ones on the outside are struggling to get in, and those on the inside are trying to stand their ground. It's a classic Darwinian struggle. The idea that the life of a penguin is any more beautiful than that of a malaria virus is absurd.
I've seen this movie, and what I came away with was I felt like I'd just been hit over the head with a hammer to drive home the point that intelligent design makes no freaking sense. Because this is clearly what the penguin's life cycle is like, this year-long thing where they walk out to this one place where they can be safe during some part of the year because of the weather cycle.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's because the ice is thick enough there that it won't melt.
I don't know. I haven't
when
seen
it gets warm, or maybe it's over real land or something, right? And they mate, they drop the egg, and then one of them has to walk miles and miles and miles back to the water to feed. They go weeks without food. And then they have to come all the way back after feeding themselves and carrying enough extra that they can gorge it up for their mate and for the egg, the chick that's hatched, right? It's incredibly precarious. If anything ever goes wrong, there will be no more of those penguins.
Right.
Right? If there's like... I don't know. If anything goes wrong, so they can't follow this incredibly precise routine that has to work a certain way in order for them to survive, then they're all fucking dead.
Yeah.
Cannot be intelligent design.
The universe is not designed for the penguins. The penguins have evolved in this universe despite the universe.
Yes, the penguins have adapted to the conditions in the Antarctic as those conditions changed.
Yeah.
And they're left now with this incredibly precarious, narrow niche where if anything goes wrong, they are all fucking dead.
Yeah.
Of course, that sounds a lot like the
global warming isn't helping.
But I don't want to get away from the pedophilia stuff.
I mean, it sounds like something that Christians do say to argue for God, which is, look, you know, if anything was slightly different, then these penguins would all be dead. But they're not. Clearly, the universe was designed to have penguins.
I had a bunch of practice. I can pretty much fit God into any situation handed to me.
Yeah. Well, I did pretty good, too, and I've never been a Christian.
And the Catholic Church recruits more student exorcists.
Now, are they going to send them down to New Orleans? Because I understand there's a big ghost outbreak down there.
I don't know. Students also attend classes in psychology so that priests can distinguish between real cases of satanic possession and illnesses such as schizophrenia.
Isn't that a movie out, the exorcism of somebody Rose?
Emily Rose.
Emily Rose. Has anybody seen that?
No.
Karen has.
Karen saw it.
Karen liked it.
But I don't know what that
means.
Didn't sound. Well, I mean,
my understanding
we don't always, she and I don't always agree on movies. What?
My understanding is it's mostly about the court case and anything demonic or weird or whatever is done in court.
flashback.
Well, it's being played up as a horror movie, so.
But, yeah, but people who go to see it say that it isn't.
By the way, I had the time wrong before. Now it's 20 minutes.
I forget that in order to better hear the rain,
we didn't have any music bumpers today.
Ah. Well, so then we can sort of take our slow, languorous time with these remaining pedophilia stories, can't we?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, just what I was hoping.
Canadian priest, let's start this, start out slow. Canadian priest confesses in French rape trial. Évreux, France, a Canadian clergyman with a criminal record for sexually abusing minors, confessed Monday to charges of raping a young member of his parish in Normandy, where he was moved after serving a prison term in Quebec. Now, note, he was a priest in Quebec. He was sexually abusing minors in Quebec. He went to jail in Quebec. He came out. He was still a priest, and they sent him to France!
Yay!
I guess the, you know...
I molest my countrymen, yay!
The Archbishop of Canada decided that there wasn't enough... children weren't getting raped enough in France.
Yeah, apparently not. They want to distribute the rape evenly around the globe.
Yes, that is just another service.
We need to fight the rape over there so that it doesn't come over here.
Right!
That's what it is. Or maybe there was like a big hole in the rainbow shield in France. This could be some sort of supernatural protective thing they're doing to, you know, to help us.
Yeah.
Except the current pope is not.
Maybe it has something to do with the ozone layer.
Not clued in. Or, which could have something to do with those penguins. See, it all ties together.
It all ties together. The great circle of life.
When you have a really tight collar, the greenhouse effect starts frying your brain more than other people.
I'll believe it.
I take responsibility... can I do French? I take responsibility for what has happened. Reverend Dennis Vendon...
No, you can't do French.
Vendaboncor,
no.
A priest in the Évreux Diocese, told the court at the opening of the trial, "Now I must accept and assume the consequences of my acts." Why is this individual priest taking responsibility? What about those fucktards back in Canada that sent him to France? Where's their responsibility?
Why didn't he take his responsibility in where was he?
Quebec
first.
He actually did it.
And well, he served his time. Still, after he served his time, they didn't kick him out of the church.
No.
Instead, they sent him to France.
They put him in charge of more kids.
Father,
the church has adopted an SCP field around this.
Father Vadaboncour faces a 20-year sentence on charges of having abused his position of authority and raping a boy identified only as having been under 15. The assaults occurred from February 1990 to August 1993 while he was a priest at a church in the Norman village of Luray. The victim, now 30, came forward in 2000, first informing the Bishop of Évreux, Jacques David, who alerted the authorities. Now, here we go, right? The church in France, at least to this extent, is taking responsibility. I don't know how he got caught in Canada.
Yeah.
Could be the church in Canada turned him over, but they still left him in. I want to hear that the church in France is kicking his ass out. Father Vadaboncour, 65, moved to France in January 1988 to resume his life as a priest after having served a 20-month sentence in a Canadian prison. He had pled guilty to two charges of sexual abuse and one of sodomy against four teenage boys there.
Wow.
How can you have one charge of sodomy against four boys?
That's interesting.
How does that work?
I've never been to a
priest's party. I don't know that position.
Beats me.
What I want to know is how you cannot be defrocked.
I don't know.
At the point where you plead guilty to sodomy and go to jail.
Don't know.
Well, here, I've got a thing that...
Yeah?
Well, we're all
confidential
sinners.
Letter reveals Ratzinger ordered bishops to keep allegations secret. I mean, they're basically all there to obstruct justice and stuff.
Right. Do you want to do that story now? Let me finish this one.
Yeah.
I got a paragraph left. Canadian religious authorities had contacted church officials in Évreux in 1987 to tell them of Father Vadaboncour's criminal record, Luray Mayor Elizabeth Syme said. adding that the information had been hidden from the community. So they did tell the church in France.
Yeah.
They didn't tell anybody else in France.
No.
Because they didn't. They need to, right? Because in the spirit of this conspiracy to keep this information from reaching the public,
mm-hmm.
they would tell the other branch of their own organization.
Well, they're from Quebec. Maybe they didn't have anybody who could speak French. Oh, never mind.
The church knew, and that disgusts me, the mayor said, asking how it was possible for Father Vadeboncourt to be... How was possible that Father Vadeboncourt was considered fit for the job? Yes, she's asking the right question. Church officials in Évreux declined to comment.
Oh, gosh.
All right, do yours.
Okay,
what is
well...
this thing?
This was Pope Benedict faced claims last night that he obstructed justice after it emerged. He issued an order ensuring the church's investigation into child sex abuse claims be carried out in secret.
Yeah.
The order was made in a confidential letter obtained by the Observer. Observer. I don't know how reputable the Observer.
Which Pope is this? Current Pope?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was sent to every Catholic bishop in May 2001.
When he was
2001?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Before he was the Pope, he was in solid
response,
keeping everything secret. It asserted the church's right to hold its inquiries behind closed doors and keep the evidence confidential for up to 10 years after the victims reached adulthood. The letter was signed by Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who was elected as John Paul II's successor. So, yeah.
I'm calling that guy Ratzinger. I'm not calling him whatever the stupid Pope name is they came up for.
You didn't call John Paul whatever his name is?
Because I don't know what
this is actually kind of.
What was his name? I have no idea.
I might call him your theory full of holiness.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's all about, secret.
So he signed a letter saying that it should all be turned. Okay. Well, let's do the follow-up to that one.
Okay.
Which is...
I think a really good question is... Why is any religious group offered the preferential treatment to conduct their own investigations and keep the results quiet? Nobody else would be allowed to do that.
There was another story which I didn't bring, that the Catholic Church in Mexico has admitted to accepting drug money as donations.
I've seen that one too.
And it's illegal to do that. In Mexico, it's illegal to receive, gifts even of drug money. But the Mexican government wasn't going to pursue it.
Right, and the church is offering excuses like,
she's going to sanctify the money, she's going to purify the
money,
laundered is the word we're looking for. Yeah, they just get, here's a more egregious example.
Go for it.
Mm-hmm. Rome. The U.S. Justice Department has told a Texas court that a lawsuit accusing Pope Benedict Ratzinger of conspiring to cover up the sexual molestation of three boys by a seminarian should be dismissed because the pontiff enjoys immunity as head of state of the Holy See.
Does he enjoy immunity from past crimes? Crimes from before he was the Pope?
Apparently so.
Wow, what a gig. I'm running for Pope when this guy dies.
Yeah.
Assistant U.S. Attorney General Peter
Keisler.
There's
nothing I want to do that's bad. That'd be nice.
I noticed that, the fact that Saddam Hussein was a head of state.
Yeah.
Didn't stop
him.
Us from doing shit to him.
That's true.
We should go in there with troops.
But the Pope doesn't have any oil.
Take out that Vatican, man.
Yeah. Assistant U.S. Attorney General Peter Keisler. Let me finish the fucking story.
Go for it.
Assistant U.S. Attorney General Peter Keisler said in the filing that allowing the lawsuit to proceed would be, quote, incompatible with the United States foreign policy interests. Right. Exactly what you said, Matt.
I thought our foreign policy interest was to invade sovereign foreign nations at a whim.
It is. That is why we set aside the immunity for heads of state when it's in our interest to take their oil. But we don't set it aside when it's merely in our interest of protecting the anuses of our young boys.
Right.
Or mouths or whatever organs it is that they... I mean, I'm sure the different priests have different tastes. did not mean it that way. I'm so sorry.
Do we have any news? Can we go?
Does it involve popes and little boys?
God. There was.
Do you want to know what his real name was?
The previous pope?
Yes.
I'm curious.
He was Archbishop Karol Wojtyla.
Yeah. I'll stick with Ratzinger.
The
new one.
Yes.
Ratzinger.
Ratzinger, you can say.
Right. That's my point.
That's a Polish name, by the way.
I knew it was a Polish name.
He was the Archbishop of Krakow.
A 1994 lawsuit against Pope John Paul II, also filed in Texas, was dismissed after the U.S. government filed a similar motion. Keisler's motion was not unexpected, as the Vatican Embassy in Washington had asked the U.S. government to issue the immunity suggestion and do everything it could to get the case dismissed. The former cardinal, Joseph Ratzinger, was named as a defendant in a civil lawsuit by three plaintiffs who alleged that Juan Carlos Pantino Arango, a Colombian-born seminarian on assignment at St. Francis de Sales Church in Houston, molested them during counseling sessions in the mid-1990s. Pantino Arango has been indicted in a criminal case by a grand jury in Harris County, Texas, and is a fugitive from justice. Gee, I wonder what kind of a place he's hiding in. And whether the stained glass is nice.
Yeah.
A lawsuit alleges Ratzinger, who headed the Vatican's Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith before becoming pope, was involved in a conspiracy to hide Pantino Arango's crimes and help him escape prosecution. So, yes, he gets immunity now because he's pope now. You know what? I have a suspicion. Don't know if this has any bearing on reality or not. But imagine this. Imagine you're a giant organization, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a case that's going to prove that your entire organization was involved in a worldwide conspiracy to hide the child sexual abuse, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you've got the guy that they're suing in your group from among whom you're going to pick your pope.
Right.
And your pope becomes a head of state. Why then, isn't it sort of suspicious that this was the fastest pope election of, like, the last several many decades, right? They very quickly elected him pope.
They keep him safe until he's dead, they keep the scandal covered up, and they get to elect a real pope later on.
Yep. And it would be in keeping with the general practice of hiding the crime.
Right.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's lovely.
That's my theory.
It could never happen.
That would be incredible resources
and power.
You need money.
And influence over the people. And
Oh, shit. It's,
well,
yeah. Yeah. So.
Today's episode has been canceled by the Vatican.
I got to do the Planned Parenthood thing.
Please,
do it.
Do the Planned Parenthood thing.
Philadelphia Planned Parenthood. This is a local thing. But they came up with a brilliant idea. The story says, for a long time, the pro-life movement has had a keen sense of how people respond to incentives. Protesters outside of clinics proved to be a very effective strategy for raising the social and moral cost of seeking an abortion. Now, a Planned Parenthood clinic in Philadelphia has come up with a very clever strategy for fighting back called Pledge a Picket. This is from their website. Every time protesters gather outside of our Locust Street Health Center, our patients face verbal attacks from them. They see graphic signs meant to confuse and intimidate. They are sometimes blocked from entering the building, and occasionally they are videotaped. They are offered anti-choice propaganda and free rides to the closest crisis pregnancy center. Staff and volunteers are also seen as targets. We are all called murderers, are lectured to about committing sins, and we are told that we will pay the ultimate price for our actions. So here's what we're doing. You decide on the amount you would like to pledge for each protester, minimum 10 cents. When protesters show up on our sidewalks, Planned Parenthood Southeastern Pennsylvania will count and record their number each day from October 1st through November 30th, 2005. That's 2 months. We will place a sign outside the health center that tracks pledges and makes protesters fully aware that their actions are benefiting Planned Parenthood. At the end of the two-month campaign, we will send you an update on protest activities and a pledge reminder.
Cool.
This is something that all Planned Parenthood should be doing.
I agree. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Brilliant.
The person who came up with that idea deserves a frickin' medal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. All right, one more pedophilia thing.
Or not?
Yeah, one more pedophilia thing. I'm not afraid. A 3-year grand jury investigation of the Philadelphia Archdiocese, the longest known inquiry in the national clergy sex abuse crisis, ended Wednesday with scathing allegations that cardinals and other churchmen had conspired to protect offenders. Gee, where have we heard that before?
Wow.
However, the grand jury said it could bring no indictments because of time limits on prosecuting the claims, and because the Roman Catholic Archdiocese is not a corporation under state law. Only one priest in the Archdiocese has been indicted. The Archdiocese responded with its own sharply worded report, calling the grand jury's conclusions discriminatory and sensationalized.
Yeah,
and
they
accusing
discriminate against people who commit crimes.
And
yeah.
accusing investigators of bullying former Cardinal Joseph Bevilacqua during his 10 appearances as a witness. The grand jury was unsparing in its condemnation of Bevilacqua, who retired in 2003, and his predecessor, the late Cardinal John Kroll, who was Archbishop of Philadelphia from 1961 to 1988. The two men knew that priests were molesting children, but conducted bogus non-investigations designed to avoid uncovering abuse, while they and their aides transferred known abusers among parishes, the grand jury said. The 418-page report names 63 priests, quote, whose abusive behavior was well documented in archdiocesan files and by witnesses who testified, unquote, before the panel. Multiple victims and many more abusers certainly exist, the grand jury said. The examples of abuse cited in the report included an 11-year-old girl who was allegedly raped and impregnated by a priest who took her for an abortion, and a priest who falsely told the 12-year-old boy that the child's mother knew he was being raped repeatedly and allowed it. The quote, the evidence is clear, this reaches the top, the very top of our archdiocese.
Wow.
Philadelphia District Attorney Lynn Abraham said at a news conference, regrettably, the perpetrators of these crimes and the people that protected them will never face the penalties they deserve.
Jeez.
The Archdiocese said in its rebuttal that the grand jury report was, quote, a vile, mean-spirited diatribe that was, quote, reminiscent of the days of rampant know-nothingism in the 1940s. A time of strong anti-Catholic sentiment. You fucktards, they're not mad at you because you're Catholics. They're mad at you because you're rapists and criminals.
Well, people hiding the rapists.
That's
makes
other
them
kind
criminals.
Of criminal I'm talking about.
Yeah, why is it that it's okay for, let's say, President Bush to say that we're going to go after terrorists and any country who harbors terrorists, and that's fine, yet when we go after people who are harboring racists, we're being
rapists,
mean.
Yeah.
Because that's what religion is all about, Matt, or at least that religion. That's what that religion is all about. Russell, are we done?
Yes.
We're done. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Looks like the storms are clearing here. Yeah. We will see you again in 2 weeks, we're pretty sure. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.